Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and at this time every Thursday, we like to talk to Lisa Newell. She is the publisher of the Gulf Breeze News, and every Thursday the paper comes out. We get a little taste of what's in it on Thursday mornings. Lisa, welcome back.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Well, I have some great news for anyone who cares about the environment. The county commissioners in Santa Rosa County have unanimously agreed to put aside $850,000 to purchase this parcel that they needed to get to, that is considered a critical piece of environmental whatever
habitat
for us. It's a habitat. It's marshland. It supports seagrasses. It's part of the wildlife corridor. It had been in governor in the legislators' budget, but Governor DeSantis was. This was one of the projects that he vetoed.
This is part of the Andrade vetoes, right?
The county was very concerned that if it didn't get purchased by the county, that, you know, a developer was going to make it a fill and build and unfortunately destroy this habitat. So they did pull together. There was a lot of discussion about how to do the creative financing to come up with this money, but they did agree at the end unanimously to protect it. And the interesting part is that Save Our Soundside donated $150,000 for the purchase of this property because it was so critical. And so that's an opportunity for the public and the private sector to work together on something they both feel is very important.
I mean, I've heard of, you know, wealthy people donating property and, you know, trust donating property. I've never before heard of a group of people coming together, raising $150,000 to help leverage the $850,000 we thought the state was going to fund, and then we didn't because of the Andrade vetoes. And then the county commission, you know, coming together with $500 from here and $350 from there and wind up buying an essential piece of ecological habitat and preserving it in the county's hands. I mean, it's a great story, and I'm so glad it wound up being a unanimous vote. I think in the end they also added some money to farmland conservation and the, you know, kind of assuaged Commissioner Eddington's concerns about TDT money. But, yeah, I think this is a really great development, so good story. On the other side of the ledger, bad news at the Mariner's Landing.
Well, we just opened Mariner's Landing. Hasn't really even completely opened. And already someone has taken a drill and drilled holes into the structure there so that they could put a fishing pole in it.
What?
So somebody came down there premeditated with a drill and drilled holes. Now, there are cameras. They are going to look to see who did this, but oh, come on. This is why we can't have nice things, you know.
Yeah.
We just opened this thing up. Wow. You know, why would someone do that? So, unfortunately, there are people out there who just can't enjoy the beautiful things that we have and just must ruin them. So,
I'm trying to have a civilization
anyway,
here, people. You know, stop making it so hard.
I know.
It's
and
awful.
I hope that you find out who did it. And hopefully that person will get fined and they'll get to replace it. You know, so unfortunate.
But
I have another really interesting story. I met a person who was doing this ministry for people in prison.
Okay.
And I wanted to learn more about it. And I got to know this person named Gladys Scott. She is apparently famous for the terrible things that befell her and her sister. They're called the Scott Sisters. They actually have a Wikipedia page. You should look it up.
I've been reading it while we've been talking because, you know, I'd like, oh, my God, this story is crazy. Go ahead.
It is crazy. These two young girls, 19 and 21, were sentenced to life in prison in Mississippi for a robbery that they say they weren't even near. The state had coerced these other men to say that these girls did this robbery. The men only got they only spent 2 years in prison. Meanwhile, these Scott sisters were sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. But the interesting thing about Gladys is she lives here in Pensacola. She was given she was released in 2010. Both of them were. Her sister has since passed away. But they founded a charity to help those people that they knew in prison. They were very fortunate because they had the support of their families, but a lot of people are totally forgotten. So they actually helped them get their GEDs. They helped them by providing care packages. They bring in dinners like Thanksgiving. They bring in a big, you know, spread for them. But mainly, she does help this in 52 states. She has got a program to help inmates and other people who are down their luck get their GED so that they can become successful in life. It is such an interesting charity. She is a wonderful person, not bitter at all, even though she spent 16 years in prison.
Wow. That's
so
amazing.
Much of her, you know, formative years. Unbelievable. Yeah, and she just cares about helping others. It's amazing.
And I was just, you know, like I said,
I read that story.
Yeah, no, it sounds fascinating. And I was reading some of the history, and, you know, two black girls basically get, looks like, you know, either got lied about to get incarcerated or at least railroaded into a hefty sentence over a, you know, very minor theft. They had appealed to the governor to get clemency, and he had denied it. And then later, and even one of the people who was, you know, one of the so-called accomplices who testified against them recanted later. So, yeah, what a crazy story. But, man, that they've been living here, and I didn't even, you know, I didn't know the story, and I certainly didn't know they've been living here. And well, one of them had been, the other one has passed away now. So wild, fascinating stuff. You guys have articles about the new driver's education law. You guys have an article about people can learn about how the city works at the Citizens Academy, and the fish fry raised, what was the number?
$90,000.
Good Lord.
$90,000. This is something that this the Hepworth girl, and I can't think of her first name, has been doing every year, I think every year, since they went down to Nicaragua, and she realized how scarce drinking water was. So she started raising money to build water wells down there, and she has these fish fries. The last one she had entertainment by the Modern Eldorados, one of my favorite local bands.
Yeah.
And anyway, not only did she raise the money, but other people matched the amount. So that now she'll be able to go down there and build some more water wells, which is very interesting.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wow, that's a lot of money and a great project. It's a great project.
Yeah.
Well, the paper is always full of all kinds of cool stuff. This week's a great example of all the local interesting stories in the Gulf Breeze News. Lisa Newell is the publisher, and she always joins us on a Thursday. Lisa, thanks for the good reporting and keeping our community informed. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much, and you have a great day, and I hope to see you in the breeze.
Yes, ma'am. 8:17 on News Radio 92.3. John is out. PJ's in firm with traffic. Go ahead, PJ.
There is a vehicle crash, I-10 westbound, right at mile marker 11, just past Pensacola Boulevard. They're saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5.
Oh, this is actually funny. Somebody said, did Alex Andrade veto? No. The vetoes of Alex Andrade items by Governor DeSantis, the Andrade vetoes. I've just kind of taken the call on that. No, that's funny. Hey, if you are thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide what to do, where to go, who to buy from, let me recommend you start at Frontier Motors. I mean, I don't know if you're going to wind up buying from them. I don't know, but just start there. And here's why. First of all, they understand that nobody really wants to do this, not usually. And second of all, they understand that people don't like the used car process in particular. You know, there's always kind of that feeling like somebody's going to try to, you know, pull one over and you take advantage of you, whatever. Okay, they get that. And so they're very hands-off. And it's very much a process of here's the bottom line price. That's all we ever talk about. There's no, hey, oh, by the way, we forgot to mention, you know, you need your invisible, you know, titanium undercoating. You know, like it's just, they don't do that nonsense. You're going to buy a good quality used car from them. Okay, and then you're going to get it guaranteed. You know, there's a warranty to 10 years or 100,000 miles. They only specialize in cars that are, you know, fairly young, 1, 2, 3, 4 years young, low miles, great condition. And, you know, look, if they have what you want, buy it. If they don't have what you want, they can probably go find it. But work with them. And again, the selection is amazing, so there's lots of opportunity to get a good sense of what's out there and what you want to buy. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Lexus, BMW, Jaguar.
Where is the best place to take your vehicle for service and repair? That, my friend, is Matrix Auto Service, the future of auto service.
Porsche, Mercedes Land Rover.
Their expert technicians provide top-notch service and repairs to all makes and models. At Matrix Auto Service, they pride themselves on transparency, honesty, and customer satisfaction with their number one goal, getting you back on the road quickly and safely. Matrix Auto Service, 5675 North Davis Highway.
We Care Home Hotline, Woody here.
Woody, my sink's clogged. Think I got a baby gator stuck in the pipes? I hear that can happen.
Try this. Put your finger in the drain.
Okay.
Do you still have a finger?
I mean, yeah, sure do.
Probably just a hair clog then. A We Care Plumber's on the way. More than 10 years, thousands of positive reviews. Nobody cares like We Care. So trust your home to the know and schedule your plumbing repairs online at wecareheatandair.com.
Florida State football's coming. Are you ready? The season kicks off as the University of Alabama rolls into town for the first time ever. The epic season continues as the Noles take on teams like Virginia, the Hurricanes, Clemson, Florida, and more. Have your business branded inside all the games, plus weekly promos and commercials. A special sponsorship package is waiting just for your business. Get your business on the field. Call 850-262-6000 to be an FSU sponsor right here on News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
This is a big one. I'm dying. You hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey.
No, I actually have heard that Red Fox was a big Soundgarden fan, actually. Yeah, no. I'm not sure that there's even any age overlap between his lifespan and theirs. 821 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Senate Republicans are giving the green light to cut funding for public broadcasting. GOP lawmakers passed a package this morning that would take back $9 billion in spending. It's part of the efforts from the DOGE team that used to be run by Elon Musk. The National Park Service is defending its efforts in the Grand Canyon National Park to fight the big wildfire there on the North Rim. That's spread to more than 9,000 acres so far and still at apparently 0% containment. And that destroyed that Grand Canyon, the historic lodge there. And a judge in the Brian Koberger trial will be hearing arguments today over a gag order on the case. The non-dissemination order keeps anyone directly involved in the case from speaking about it. Koberger has pleaded guilty to the killing of four University of Idaho students. That happened back in 2022, and he is scheduled for sentencing next week.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I love it, PJ, when I'll make some just goofy comment, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I should go look that up and see what's going on. We had this yesterday with the game show host. I was exactly right. Red Fox died in 1991, and Bad Motorfinger, which is not their first album, but it's their first really successful album from Soundgarden, came out in
91.
Oh, okay. So, like, exactly no overlap. I mean, Louder Than Love was out earlier, but, you know, they didn't get successful. They didn't get known until Bad Motorfinger came out. Weird. Okay. All right. Real news. 822 News Radio 92.3. Oh, so Trump says that, President Trump says that he's gotten a deal from Coca-Cola to go to cane sugar from the, you know, high fructose corn syrup. And my first thought was, A, do you remember New Coke? B, my wife, who is... you know, of all the pleasures in her life, Coca-Cola is very high on that list. And she is only at McDonald's. You know, we'll go to a restaurant and, you know, she'll say, I want a Coke. And they'll say, you know, is Pepsi okay? And she's like, it's okay. You know, but I asked her because I was curious. I said to her, you know, hey, there's bad news coming because, you know, Coke is changing their formula. And she said, that's fine. I was like, the what now? She says, I've tried it. It's the Mexico formula. They use cane sugar in Mexico. And she said, I've tried it. I actually didn't understand why they charge more for it because it wasn't better. It wasn't worse. It wasn't just no big deal. I'm like, cool. So fine. Because, you know, a lot of people have beliefs about high fructose corn syrup and the health consequences. Really, really bad for you, they think. I don't have a strong opinion about that. That's why I say they think. I'm not saying they're wrong. I just don't have a strong opinion about it. I will say the move to get rid of all the artificial dyes, you know, of course, Bobby Kennedy Jr. has been pushing for that. And, you know, the move and the willingness of, what is it, the ice cream companies have agreed that they're willing to get rid of all of the artificial dyes and colorings and things like that. Okay. I mean, it's not, you can't think of that as being a bad thing. I mean, I just hope that when I buy my chocolate mint ice cream that it still looks mostly green. You know, there's actually, I think it's Breyers, if I remember right, is a chocolate mint that is white. And it's so, what am I eating? You know, it doesn't seem possible that you could have mint-flavored ice cream be just not green. But so will the colors be less vivid? Will your, you know, less pink and less, I don't know, will Neapolitan be like brown and white and other brown? You know, I don't know, but I suppose we'll see. But if the taste is there, the taste is there. Your eyes can just learn to adapt. What else do we have going on? Did you see the story? Troy Moon always has always finds the most interesting little slices of things. Did you see the story about the declassified jet battle that happened back in the, I think it was Korean vintage or maybe it was Vietnam era vintage with a pilot off the Oriskany who now lives here in Pensacola, or maybe he just visited here in Pensacola. Yeah, crazy. I'll tell you about that in a second. PJ's got traffic on the fires. PJ?
Still just looking at the vehicle crash, I-10 westbound, mile marker 11. That's in Pensacola, just past Pensacola Boulevard. They're saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Yeah, I was reading about this story, and I guess it's not news in the sense that it wasn't just recently declassified, but Troy Moon had an article about it. I had not heard this story before, but intense. I mean, you had retired Navy Captain Royce Williams. In 1952, he took off in an F-9 Panther. And how to describe this jet for you? It's probably not one that most of you are familiar with. It's kind of a funky looking straight wing. They were always painted that navy blue back in the day, and it has what looks like, it almost looks like buoys on the edge of the wings on the outside, and it would carry a bunch of armaments. But anyway, it's a plane that, you know, apparently he got from the Oriskany, which of course now is sunk off of our coast. But he gets out there with a couple of other people in his squadron, and he runs into some MiGs. Some Soviet MiGs, which part of the reason that this was not declassified for so long was because, you know, they didn't want to be involved. We didn't want to talk about them being involved because that would escalate the situation. You know, so it's kind of a very secret thing. But he winds up, I guess they shot one down and his, you know, the other pilot who was with him went to investigate that. But there were seven other that he got into a dogfight with, and he won. A dogfight, shooting down maybe as many as six, definitely four. And, I mean, that alone is crazy. I mean, this is beyond Top Gun kind of stuff. That's an unheard of ratio. But, you know, our pilots are great and their pilots weren't in this particular situation. He gets back to the Oriskany, lands. Apparently, they had to align the Oriskany with his flight path because he was having trouble basically steering. And I don't know how that would all be possible, but I read one account that included that in it. He gets back on deck, and the plane is completely, pun intended, shot. 263 bullet holes. 263 bullet holes. And it was, they basically pushed it over the edge because there was nothing you can do with it. I kind of wish they would have kept it for a museum piece, but, you know, okay. So, holy smokes. He couldn't even tell his wife. This is one of the reasons why, like, I could never have a clearance. Because I could never not tell my wife these things. I mean, in fact, it's actually come up in, I'm trying to remember when it was, but there was some scenario where somebody was either telling me something or asking me something, or it was a job interview. I don't remember. And they're like, you know, well, you're going to deal with a lot of confidential things. You know, is it going to be a problem for you to not tell your wife? I'm like, yeah, I don't keep secrets from my wife. You know, it's not going to happen. And so I don't remember the outcome of it, but so that's the thing. So I would not be the one who could keep the secret, but he was told that you can't talk about this. And so the official record at the time was he had shot down one plane, did not identify it as a Soviet aircraft. When he winds up, it gets all declassified in 2002. And the official story he said was absolute hooey. They made something up and just went with it. I was ordered that I could never tell anyone what happened. So that was that. I made a pact with myself that I would never say anything. And after a while, it didn't bother me. You know, you get used to keeping a secret. And he says, nobody asked because why would they ask about a thing there's nothing to ask about? They didn't know. And that was the end of it. He's almost a century old now. He's from South Dakota. He lives in, where was it? I just saw it a second. Caretaker in California. And you know, when he told his wife, she was like, oh, honey. You know, just the kind of most unsatisfying, but you know, it makes sense. I mean, when you've been married that long, what would your reaction be? So I just thought that was an amazing story, and I would not have known the story, but for Troy Moon wrote the article a couple of days ago. So Troy always finds the weirdest, odd, little, cool stories to write about. He's very, very good at that. 829 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are looking for a real estate transaction, you're trying to sell, trying to buy, just want information. I think a lot of times you feel like you've got to know what you're doing, you know, before you call the realtor. And I actually recommend the opposite. You know, call Christina Leavenworth before you know what you're doing. Use her to help you figure out what you're doing, because then you're likely to make a more informed, wiser decision instead of, you know, hey, I've made a mediocre decision, help me do it. You can call her and be like, Andrew says I should call you. He says it's okay to not be sure, and I just have questions, and we want to sit down and talk. And she's like, sure, great. Okay, we'll do that. And then she can help you make a good decision. And then, of course, if it's a buy or sell decision, she can help you make the best of that. And sometimes the benefit is she'll help you realize, you know, maybe that's we shouldn't be selling. I know she's told me several times over the years that, you know, she talked to people and wound up consulting them, hey, maybe it's best not for you to sell, and they agree. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. We'll be back in just a minute with the frivolous topic.
I'm Therese Crowley. Clawing back billions, the Senate took a 2 a.m. vote to cancel funding for public broadcasting and foreign aid, targeted as waste and fraud by DOGE. The newest Senator, Ashley Moody, satisfied, tells Fox.
We're no longer going to spend money right now on the backs of the future generations.
The bill back to the House for final passage. Fox confirms a U.S. attorney who prosecuted Sean Diddy Combs and Jeffrey Epstein, Maureen Comey, is fired, the daughter of former FBI Director James Comey. No comment from the Southern District of New York. The search for 97 lost souls continues in Kerr County, Texas. First day since July 4th, the floods without rain or a flood forecast now heats the big issue. And flood watch is up for New Orleans and the Louisiana coast with a tropical system packing 10 inches of rain. It could become named Dexter. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 82 degrees in Pensacola today. Of course, we'll get to our forecast here in just a few minutes. An arrest was made yesterday following a fatal shooting on Wilson Avenue in Kincaid. 58-year-old Michael Johnson was arrested last night after deputies responded to a home where a trespassing incident had then reportedly escalated into a shooting. Investigators say a victim had left the property and later returned, and that is when the victim and the suspect got into an argument, which turned into a shooting. Johnson is currently being held on a possession of a weapon by a convicted felon charge and remains in the Escambia jail with no bond. Former Pensacola Police Chief Eric Randall sat down with Channel 3 yesterday to talk about his sudden departure from PPD last week. Earlier this week, Mayor D.C. Reeves said that the city and Randall had mutually agreed to part ways after internal standards weren't met and employee surveys showed a loss of confidence in leadership. Randall had this to say when he sat down with Sue Strong.
First of all, I want to apologize to the department and to the community. I didn't get a chance to say my well wishes to each and every one of you. To the men and women of the Pensacola Police Department, you are the greatest. Thank you for all that you have done for me, all that you do for this community, and please stay safe, and I support you 110%, and thank you for the courageous work you do each and every day to make sure this city is a safe place to live, work, play, and raise a family.
And Randall also thanked the community for their support over the last few years. He discussed the challenges he faced coming into the department as an outside hire by former Mayor Grover Robinson, also some of the changes that he implemented over the years, which resulted in the city being named one of the safest in the country. That full interview is posted online at the Channel 3 website if you'd like to see it. Those being held in Alligator Alcatraz are suing to get more access to their lawyers. The ACLU filed a class action suit yesterday against the Department of Homeland Security, ICE, and the governor. The suit was filed on behalf of four detainees at the Immigration Detention Center in the Everglades. The plaintiffs claim their constitutional rights are being violated because they are being denied access to legal counsel. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis now putting a hold on plans to build another immigration detention facility in Northeast Florida. He said yesterday he's not moving forward, at least for the time being, with building a facility at Camp Blanding in Clay County. DeSantis said he wants to wait for Alligator Alcatraz to fill up first. The Everglades facility can hold up to 4,000 detainees. Despite the announcement, protesters are still planning a rally at Camp Blanding this coming weekend. Senator Rick Scott behind an effort to address threats posed by China. He announced yesterday he'd introduced a bill to strengthen America's national security by countering the growing threats posed by the nation. Scott said the bill would amend current immigration law to target foreign nationals whose home countries require them to support foreign intel services. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and PJ's got our traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. If you're on US 98, east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze, that is flowing smoothly. Mobile Highway, clear through Beulah. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We do have a high chance of rain as you go throughout your day today. 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 89. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Friday, 70% chance of heavy showers and thunderstorms, high near 89 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Going into Saturday, 60% chance of rain with a high near 90 and a low near 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got partly cloudy skies, 83 degrees right now. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Taking a look at our markets at the opening bell. No big changes yet this morning. Dow is up just under 100 points at 44,354. S&P's up 3.5 points, 62,67. NASDAQ up 18.5 points at 27.48. Looking at that 10-year bond rate this morning, down slightly, 4.443%. Gold prices down $38.40 at $3,320.70. Silver down 22 cents at $37.90. And crypto is mixed. Bitcoin's down just over 1,200 at $117,921. But Ethereum is up $50. Solana's up 145, Dogecoin up about a half a cent, XRP up as well this morning. First-time requests for unemployment benefits are down. Most analysts had been expecting the Labor Department to report an increase in the number of new unemployment applications, but the number came in at 221,000 today. That's down 7,000 from last week's revised total. President Trump says he is not planning on firing Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, but as Nick Harper reports, comments made in the Oval Office do seem to suggest it hasn't been completely ruled out yet.
Officially, presidents cannot remove Fed officials unless there's due cause. On Wednesday, Donald Trump suggested without evidence that Powell was guilty of fraud.
Trump had been asked about the reports that he talked to Republicans about removing the Fed chair. The president said it's highly unlikely that that would happen. Real estate investors from China are the largest group of foreign buyers of residential property in the U.S. That's according to the National Association of Realtors. Chinese clients purchased almost $14 billion worth of homes in the U.S. between April of last year and March of this year. That's an 83% jump from the previous year. 8:38, our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hi, it's Bess Marks with Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor. I want to read a little letter that I got from a wonderful friend, and she said, "Oh my gosh, wow, Bess, you and the Lazy Boy design team, you nailed it. We love it. We just can't believe it's ours." And that's what we call a standing ovation for our design team. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Mobile, Pensacola, and Spanish Fort. Just like a picture out of a magazine.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
So the question of the day is inspired by a conversation we had at 6:35, which is we were talking about the Gen Z stare, you know, that buffering pause where they have contempt for you and don't say anything and then eventually let their contempt out a little bit at a time. But it led to another thing, which is another factor of like how Gen Z behaves differently, which is answering the phone. And one of the things that the article claimed, anyway, I have not personally experienced this, but you tell me that it's true, PJ, right, is that Gen Zers, this is like, 13 to 28, I think we decided is about the Gen Z age. When they pick up a phone, they don't say anything.
My daughters do that. And when they hang up, they don't say goodbye either.
They don't say goodbye either. Okay, so the question is, how do you answer the phone? What's the correct phone etiquette? And kind of the question of the day, which is, who's supposed to talk first when you answer the phone? If, I mean, and this is imagining you get them to pick up a phone, right? Because they don't want to. They want to text. 437-1620, how do you answer the phone, and who is supposed to speak first? 437-1620. So, PJ, I guess you give your answer and your daughter's answer. How do you answer the phone?
I would say, well, we have cell phones now. So when we had the corded phone, I would answer differently.
Oh,
for
okay.
Some reason.
Why?
But good with point.
Because I grew up in a household, and you would say, hello, this is the family name.
Right.
You know?
The blank residence.
And now that I have a cell phone, I'm like, hey, this is PJ.
Okay, so you do say your name.
Yeah.
Okay, but not for friends. I mean, if friends call you, you don't say this is PJ.
If I recognize the number, I'll say, hey, Meg, how's it going?
Yeah, okay. And who is supposed to talk first? The person
probably,
answering?
Probably, the person talking first to say hello, yes, it's you know you have somebody on the line.
Oh, that's the other thing, they don't say hello.
Right.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Or goodbye,
as you
said.
But then after that, it would be Meg's turn to talk to me.
Okay, so the recipient of the call is the one who's supposed to talk first.
Right.
The recipient of the call talks first. Okay, which is the same way I would think of it. Meg?
You know, I'm so controversial. I'm afraid I might disrupt someone's coffee this morning. Hello?
Okay, cool. It's
that's
done.
How I fit. Hello. You know, occasionally, if I know it's a business call, uh-huh. I'll say, hello, this is Meg.
Do you know why they say you shouldn't say hello? Why they don't say hello? I mean, this is their argument in part, and also why they're why they don't answer. It thwarts the robocalls. The robocall is designed to key in on you saying hello. I've read. I don't know if that's true, but
read that you don't say yes.
Because
they can take that recording of the yes and then use your signature saying yes to whatever product they're hawking. Yeah. But so I don't do that because if they start asking me questions. Or yes or no answers, and it's a scam call. Then I'd say who is this, please?
Mm-hmm. I'm much more cautious about talking at all. I usually just won't answer.
Yeah.
And if I do answer because I'm not sure, and it's anything. It's even if there's a delay and then there's a click, or it's they say something that I know it's not. I'm like, I just hang up.
Well, I get a little notice.
I'm not nice anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not rude. I just hang up.
I get a little notice that says spam risk.
Yep. Oh, and then, those don't even answer them.
Yeah. And my friends go, well, who's that? Spam Risk. He calls me every day. He's my boyfriend. He's very consistent. He's just a little over, you know, a little codependent.
So in the good old days when you had landline phones and you had a family,
mm-hmm.
you would teach the kids to say,
yes,
hello, Smith residence, this is Jennifer.
Thank you. I'll hold on a moment and get your mom.
Right, yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
I had a whole, like, I can't remember the lectures about phone etiquette.
Yes, and we are a long way from that.
Ooh.
We are definitely a long way. I think it depends on whether it's, if I know them or not. And if I don't know them, it's hello and not much more. And then, of course, if, you know, if they don't really, I say, you know, who is this?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's somebody I know, I'll just, you know, hey, man. It's usually
I say, hey there. Normal.
Yeah. There's something very informal. Mm-hmm. But it is definitely the recipient who is obligated to say something first.
I think because otherwise you don't know whether you've connected or not.
Well, you know that the digital, you know that clickety sound that's gone through. You know that you've got them,
sort of.
But, yeah, it would be weird if I called somebody and they didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, hey, are you there? Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's happened once or twice ever, and I just blamed it on technology.
That's what I thought. But now that you're telling me it's this Gen
Z thing. Is it a strategy?
Thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now it's starting to make sense.
845 News Radio 92.3. What do you say on the phone? Do you say hello? Do you say goodbye? How do you start and stop these phone calls? 437-1620. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
I'm not sure my kids are doing it for strategy. I'm just saying.
Just habit.
All right. I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze, that's flowing smoothly. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. One of our longtime advertisers has now changed their name slightly. It's Torgerson Consulting now. And of course, there is a resource for you if you have a business and you have employees you want to deal with or have to deal with health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, managing HR or payroll or all of the above, and you just want somebody to take care of it for you, or you want to have somebody come in and kind of look at what you're doing and see if maybe there's a better way, a cheaper way, a more effective way to do it, because they will do that. No obligation to have them look. They've been doing this for 20 years. We've had them as our benefits agency for about 4 years here at News Radio and Cat Country. I can tell you personally, they're fantastic, outstanding customer service and very good plans. I mean, they're not miracle workers, I like to say, but given what's out there, they find the best thing that's available, and they've been great to us. More than 20 years in business helping local companies figure out this stuff. 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. Back to the text. Now the question of how do you answer the phone? Who talks first? Do you say goodbye? Our good friend John Hutchinson says, my son doesn't even ever pick up. Text only. But don't you dare ask him to call. Yeah, I think that's just true. It's just true that a lot of people under 30 just don't even like it. Oh, I love this. Somebody says, my way of answering the phone is, what's up? Yeah, but you can't do that for somebody who's under 30.
Right.
They will not understand why you're having a stroke on the air, on the phone with them. Kim says, well, obviously, if I'm calling someone, I'm going to say hello. Oh, interesting. So you say hello first as a caller. Interesting. If I'm receiving a call, I'm going to say hello. Either way. Okay, so that's your first thing. If there's no caller ID, I do wait for them to speak first. Okay, I wonder if that's a spam, telemarketer, robocalls kind of defense mechanism or if it's something different. I'm suspicious that that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we are in a different era when it comes to answering the phone. The answering party should speak first. A gentle, mostly happy hello will be fine.
A gentle, happy. I like that.
I will say this. You know, I've worked a fair number of jobs over the years, but one of the best jobs a long time ago was a Blockbuster, you know, and they taught us how to answer the phone.
Right. Oh, yeah. When I worked at other places, we had to learn phone etiquette for the company.
And doing sales, you learn, mm-hmm. you know, phone scripts and all that kind of stuff. I'm always amazed at how bad some people are at answering the phone. Particularly in the professional environment.
Etiquette in general, by the way.
No, fair. but I always answer our phone, you know, hello, News Radio. I don't usually say it's Andrew. I guess I could. I just don't. But always, hello, News Radio. Or News Radio 92.3, I might say. But the number of people that would answer a business phone, hi. What the?
This just reminded me of a great.
You just failed.
You just reminded me of a great Beatles song, Hello, Hello. I don't know why you say goodbye, I say hello.
Yeah.
Do you know that song?
I do.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go.
I know the Beatles.
See, I'm surprised you didn't pull that one up.
Fair enough.
It's perfect for this conversation.
How do you answer the phone? Who's obligated to speak first? Let's say my 22-year-old does answer his phone. However, instead of saying hello, he says greetings. There's always that one. You know, there's always, but that's, I like that. It's kind of different.
He's classy.
It is. It's exotic. It's like saying when somebody, you know, hey, is Andrew there? This is he.
You know? Oh, you know what else? If you might say, Andrew speaking.
Yeah. Oh, that fair. One, right? Yeah. All right. I put my bow tie on. Somebody says, I say hello first if it's business, or yo if it's somebody I know. What I answer with depends on who's calling, which I think is probably accurate for most people. For robocalls, John says you're pretty much universally safe saying hello once. They don't transfer to a human until the second hello. I, on the other hand, relish the robocall. I get to let out my inner crazy philosopher and keep them on line as long as possible. And I always use a closing bye, love you. Something else to put out the verbal punctuation, but I'm old-fashioned. My kids do just like you described. Michael says phone etiquette should be taught in high school, like everything else. Somebody says, BJ's pool hall, eight ball speaking. Oh, that's true. Do you remember? You remember having all the like clever answering machine things,
yes,
and all of that? That's completely gone by the wayside. My voicemail, this is a whole separate subject, but my voice message, like when people want to leave, it says, don't leave me a voicemail. Text me. Cause it's probably been a month, 2 months since I checked my voicemail.
Wow.
I told them not to leave one. Don't leave one. And every time I check, universally, every time I check it, it's 18 robocalls.
Mm.
So, you know, what's the point? Let's see. I normally don't say hello to avoid AI spam, but will introduce myself with my first name. I do this for everyone, even with my wife. She hates it. If my wife called me and I said, hi, this is Andrew. I'm definitely doing that today. That's hilarious. I will be able to see her look through the phone, and I will know that it is not approving. It's great. I always hate I wait because robocalls, unless I know them, then I say, hey, if you smile while answering a phone, you sound happy. I was a receptionist for 10 years. That's 100% true. That's true in radio too. If you smile, you know, the way your face is acting will convey your voice. 100% accurate. And definitely in phone calls. I hate to give tips to telemarketers, okay, but it's absolutely true. If you smile, you have a much better chance, period. Somebody says, I always answer work calls with good morning, good afternoon. This is Rebecca. How may I help you? It's not one I would use personally because my name's Andrew.
But I'm pump.
I feel dirty anyway. Obviously, if I'm calling someone, I'm going to say, oh, sorry, I do not pick up calls that are not in my contacts. I've also said, hello, Duffy's Tavern. We're the elite meat to eat. Sometimes the whole yeah, going on about being a fake business is always kind of entertaining. And I do really want to apologize for that prior joke. 8:51 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Are you a senior ready to downsize but not ready for assisted living? Discover the lifestyle you deserve at Tranquil Villas. This vibrant, independent senior community offers spacious, affordable apartments designed for comfort and convenience. Enjoy clubs, luncheons, walking trails, and community gatherings. It's perfect for making new friends and staying active. You'll find everything you need to live your best life. Why not schedule a tour today? Go to seniorvillas.net. That's seniorvillas.net.
Tranquil Villas, where comfort meets community.
If you are a fan of Joann's Fabrics, you're gonna love Daryl Sewing of Pensacola. Daryl Sewing is the largest sewing and embroidery machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering lots of apparel fabric, children's fabric, and quilting fabric, in addition to sewing machine furniture, sewing and embroidery supplies, and notions. Financing is available. 850-438-5444. Remember, Daryl Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway, between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
Every Subaru at Anderson Subaru is built with quality parts and precision engineering, so you can count on your Subaru to be with you for the long road ahead. And you can count on a great rate from Anderson Subaru to help you get there. With 0% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Solterra models, with 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Outback models, or 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Crosstrek models, and 3.9% APR for 48 months on 2025 Forester models. 0%, 1.9%, 2.9%, and 3.9%. Combined with legendary reliability and longevity, there's even more reason to love a Subaru. From Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
An official message from Medicare.
I turned 65 this year. I knew it was time to figure out Medicare, and I had questions, like when to enroll and how to enroll. So I went straight to the official source, Medicare.gov, to get the facts about Medicare. I found answers to all my questions, and I'm ready to get started. And so can you. Just go to Medicare.gov to get the real facts about Medicare.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Have you seen the story about how there's another TSA change coming? You know how now you can wear your shoes all the way through, like, you know, a human? it's amazing to me that for 24 years, we all just took our shoes off at the TSA line. Well, I guess not 24 because it was not immediate. When was the Reed attempted shoe bombing thing? It was not 2001 maybe, but sometime thereafter when that's... Because that's how all of these things happened, right? And now the liquids one might go away. The size of the liquids that you can take on board the plane, what is it, 3.4 ounces, I think, something like that. And that one was born of a threat, right? The threat was that they would bring, as I recall, I could be wrong, but as I recall, it was if you had the ingredients to mix together the two liquids that would form an explosive, that was the idea. And I don't know where 3.4 ounces came from, if that's some threshold below which it's not really dangerous or whatever. But it always seemed like such an odd number, 3.4. But then you get specialized containers and, you know, they have exemptions for baby milk and all that kind of stuff. Well, now apparently we're going to be getting rid of that. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem hinted, what a tease, that possible changes the size of liquid containers in carry-on flights for U.S. While speaking at the Hill Nation Summit, she said the TSA is actively reviewing the current rule. So that's not a promise, but interesting. We'll talk about it in a second. John is out today. PJ has got traffic on the fives.
You can call me John. It's okay.
John, JP, PJ. It's so confusing to me. Sorry, go
ahead. Gulf Beach Highway is clear. The front gate of NAS Pensacola looks like just a small delay getting in there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. I wonder if this change comes, and I wonder if it will mean total deregulation, that you can bring sort of normal size containers again. I wonder if it's more a matter of security, because the same thing about the shoe, has the threat totally gone away? Are the devices so much more capable that if you had explosives in your shoes, like, was it Richard Reed? That's what I remember. Anyway, they would detect it. So they're not worried about your shoes the way they were. But same thing for the liquids. Like, I wonder chemistry wouldn't have changed, but maybe their detection capability has changed. But I wonder if it's more a matter of the security or the threat level has changed, or if it's a matter of we just got a lot of people that really want to bring their Stanley Cups on the plane. Because, you got to believe there's some pressure in that regard. And knowing the Stanley Cup people as I do, many of them even in this room, would you bring it? Meg, you're a big cup person, although yours is a Georgia tumbler, of course.
yes.
But I don't fly enough for this to be relevant for me, but if you could fly, would you want to bring a tumbler on the plane
Absolutely.
With you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, definitely.
But the tumbler is big and awkward.
But I drink water. I like to drink water, and I bring drinks with me. I would much rather be able to do that.
So I bring a water bottle, like a plastic, screw top. And it's the one thing that's annoying is you always dump the water out or bring an empty water bottle in my backpack or my whatever bag I'm carrying.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to remember after security to go to the water fountain and fill it up with water. And then I have it. But I'm the same. I want a water bottle.
I have gotten so annoyed over the years of the things they've made me throw out. I just think that Jergens hand lotion in a little 2 ounce bottle or 4 ounce bottle is really not going to hurt anybody. It just annoys me to no end.
I remember the early days of the TSA doing this. And I had one of the very few things I had inherited from my grandfather was like his, you know, his personal manicure kit, you know, with the tweezers and toenails and clippers and scissors.
Yes.
And they're blunt-nosed scissors.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even think about that, and they made me throw it out. And I'm like, well, can I at least keep the scissors? And weirdly, they'll let me keep the scissors. I'm like, to this day, I can picture it in my head, and it had his, you know, it was monogrammed, mm-hmm. you know, and that was like the one thing I had had for my grandfather, and they made me get rid of it for what the dumbest. What, I'm going to attack the cockpit with a pair of nail clippers. I mean, what's wrong with you? Well, it's got a stabbing tool. Shut up.
I had Evening in Paris perfume that was in a little Eiffel Tower
that
somebody had given me over the years.
Uh-huh.
Made me throw it out.
God, so many things.
Right.
Now, you know,
no, that's really a threat.
You know, when they make you discard your gun, I mean, you fine.
Machete.
Fine. What do you mean I can't bring a machete on board? Sir, there's new rules. Okay, fine. I get it. But yeah, no, so this is, I do think, though, that thinking through the question of how big a tumbler is, where you would put it, there's no place to store it, the seat back tray tables are not designed for that. Would you put it in the pocket? Just all of that stuff. It's not one I would personally do, but I understand if you're attached, and I definitely do bring a water bottle on board that I refill after the safety station. So maybe you can just fill up the water bottle at home and bring it in the future. No promises. It's just a hint, but we'll see. Thanks for listening. Meg's up next with Pep Talk.
Stream us at newsradio923.com.